James chapter 4, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And James was inspired by God to write this letter to believers. To those who were of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and the circulation of James's letter would have been to those believers wherever they might have lived. He writes to us that they were scattered abroad, which means they weren't in any one town like the church of Philippi, as Paul wrote to them, or the Hebrews, or the church at Rome. But these were people who were scattered all about. He tells us that in chapter 1, verse number 1, that he's writing to the believers who were scattered abroad. He's writing to them and to us, I believe, about making sure that our faith is on target. That our faith is on target. And which target are we to be searching for? God's target. And as we celebrate the new year, it's customary to make New Year's resolutions. And some of you might have done that already. The dictionary defines a resolution as a firm decision to do or not to do something, or as a firm determination. A firm decision to do or not to do something. That's a resolution. And the resolutions that we make are generally about what we want, about what we want to do and what we want out of our lives. And I believe that the message today could not be any more timely. We have discovered as we studied through James that he is warning us about us. He's warning us about ourselves as believers. He's warning us about our sin nature. He's warning us about pride. That we be believers, but that we not be so prideful that we really miss the message of Christ. And if you've ever doubted that we were being warned not to be prideful before in the book of James, then it's going to be harder for you to deny that after studying today's text. He says to us on this New Year's Day, if you're going to make any resolutions, let them be godly resolutions, or you will have resolved nothing at all. Let them be godly resolutions, or you will have resolved nothing at all. I have 2 points. Both I borrowed from Philippians 4, verse 4. And Philippians 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Those will be our points today. First point is, rejoice in the Lord always. Let's read James 4, verse 13, just one more time. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Amen. James is making an important point that he wants the reader not to miss. When he wrote "go to now," what he is really saying is, come now. Come and listen to what I'm about to tell you. He is wanting us to understand that this portion of the letter is very, very important. He says, come near and really listen. Come on now and make sure that you don't miss this point. Come now and listen. You that say today or tomorrow, I'm going to go into such a city and stay there for a year or so, and then I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell and I'm going to make good investments. I'm going to make money, gain more money. He says, you need to listen. You're not in control of your life at all, he says. Your life is just a vapor. He says, if you're gonna make a resolution, he says, it ought not to be a resolution about what you're gonna do for as long as you can do it. You need to make a resolution that you're gonna do what you can for the Lord for as long as the Lord wills. That's the true meaning of a godly resolution. That's the true meaning of a godly resolution. The pride mentioned here is the pride of self-sufficiency. Rather than rejoice in ourselves and what we can do for ourselves, we are warned to rejoice in the Lord and to rejoice in the Lord always. He is writing to us believers. He is writing to the saved. He says, we are saved. Yeah, we are. But don't get the big head and put yourself ahead of God. He says, now we're saved. Most certainly we are. And the Bible talks about the liberties that we have in Christ. But he says, don't think that you're so saved now that you're equal with God. Don't think that you can impose your will above the will of God. You know, Proverbs chapter 27, look there. It's on page 501 in your pew Bibles. Proverbs 27, 1, I think is a great one that tells us that we are not to boast about who we are. And we're not to get the big head about who we are in God. But we are to remember that God is always ultimately in control. Proverbs 27, verse number 1, just one verse we're going to read there. He says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what a day may bring forth. You know what? We could also take this farther than just resolutions and say that what God is telling us is that we are to enjoy this life that he has given us every single day. We're to enjoy our families every single day because we don't know what tomorrow holds. And we don't know that tomorrow will include us here on this earth. And therefore, we are to make every day precious. We are to make every day precious. We are to love those that God has put into our lives. And we are to not to allow people who get on our nerves to make us carry that from one day into the next. You know, that's one of the greatest things I think that I ever picked up on is that God didn't want me to drag today's problems into tomorrow. He didn't want me to just keep collecting stamps, as they called it in a business workshop that I went to one day, that I should just keep on collecting the things that people have done to me, how they've hurt my feelings, and carry it from one day to the next and dump it on the new person that I meet the next day. That's not God's plan. God says, you don't know that you're going to have tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. Amen. He said, don't boast about that. Instead, he says, live for him every single day. Now, I want to show you some things about this whole concept of rejoicing in the Lord always. Flip over to Luke chapter number 12. That's on page 764 in your pew Bibles. Luke chapter number 12. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 13. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time today in Luke chapter 12 because it is so on point for this message that James is giving us today about how we are to make godly resolutions. Luke chapter number 12, skip down to verse number 13. And I want you to show you this is Christ is going to be speaking as he was being challenged about today and about how he should conduct himself and how others around him should conduct themselves, I should say. And he was being challenged. It says in verse number 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou has provided? Now, I want you to see what God is telling us, which is exactly what I believe James is telling us over in James chapter 4. He says, here, God says, what we need to rejoice in is that he is God and not in what we can do for ourselves. So in the parable here, Christ says to this man, he says, all right, you collected all of this stuff, but tomorrow doesn't include you. Now, what happens to your stuff? What happens to your stuff? And verse number 21 says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself. And this next part is so important. And is not rich toward God. Oh, wow. In a day when the world preaches that we ought to be prosperous in our lives here, the Word of God says if you are really going to be able to rejoice in Him, if you're really going to be able to make godly resolutions each and every day, not just on the very first day of the year, then we have got to have a desire to be rich towards God.
Amen.
Rich towards God. Amen. And not rich in ourselves. In James chapter 4, verse 14, he said this, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. You have no idea what tomorrow is going to be like. He says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away.
Amen.
And you know, when we forget who we are and what we are, then we tend to rejoice in ourselves rather than to rejoice in the Lord. And pride steps in, and then we start making poor resolutions. Resolutions about us and not about God. Now, I want to give you an example. And why don't you flip over to 2 Chronicles 32, that's on page 375. An example of one who allowed pride to step in the way, and he began to boast about the wrong things. He began to make the wrong resolutions, and he got outside of the will of God as a man by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was king of the tribe of Judah. And you can read about Hezekiah in 2 Kings beginning at chapter 18. You can read about him in 2 Chronicles beginning at 29. And then you can read about him in Isaiah beginning in chapter number 36. And we're going to look at a little bit of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles, and then we're going to jump over to Isaiah 40 because I want to show you a couple things about this man Hezekiah. And how Hezekiah started out right. And this is, it's important for us to understand that God not only wants us to start a good race, but He wants us to end a good race. He wants us to make a resolution that we're going to hang in there until the very end, regardless of when that end might be, whether it's tomorrow or a year from tomorrow or 20 years from tomorrow or 100 years from tomorrow. He wants us to hang in there and stay faithful and stay true to the cause. Well, this man Hezekiah is one who was remembered as being one who did right in the sight of the Lord. And at one point in Hezekiah's life, the Bible tells us that he got sick to the point of death. And God sent the prophet Isaiah to tell him that this was going to be the end for him. And then Hezekiah began to pray, and he prayed and he reminded God that he had been one who had walked with him, that he had tried to live his life according to God's standards. And the Bible says, and God heard him, and God sent the prophet back to him and told him that he was not going to die. And God gave Hezekiah 15 more years to live. But Hezekiah did not have the same perfect walk after God granted him the additional years, as he didn't have the same zeal for God. And Hezekiah, though, he got himself into a little bit of trouble, and it was all about being a man of great pride. And in 2 Chronicles chapter number 32 and verses 25 and 26, it summarizes for us very quickly what happened to Hezekiah. Here's what it says. It says, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. He forgot. He was not faithful. Pride got the hold of him. He says he did not render again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. That's pride. His heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. He had made a different resolution, and he was not as determined to do God's will or to do God's way, to rejoice in him always. And verse number 26 says, notwithstanding, Hezekiah, he humbled himself for the pride of his heart. In other words, Hezekiah was made aware that he had become a man of great pride and that he was not doing things God's way. And God told him that there was going to be a punishment that was going to come upon all of the people because of what he had done. And Hezekiah humbled himself before God. He made it right. But there was a consequence for Hezekiah's sin. And in verse number 26, he says, he humbled himself for the pride of his heart. both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. In other words, God was going to bring about a punishment. But Hezekiah, because of his repentance, was not going to live to see it. Now, if you would, I want to take this story just a little bit further. We're going to jump over to Isaiah chapter number 40. In Isaiah chapter number 40, that's on page 538 in your pew Bibles, we're going to see Hezekiah's story picks up again. Hezekiah, he humbled himself, he repented, and the consequences of his sinful acts were not brought to pass until after his death. And the people would have been aware that there were some consequences in their future. And they might have had some fear because of what was coming down the pipe for them. But God sent a word of comfort through Isaiah the prophet. And this word of comfort lets you know that if we will make a resolution to rejoice in the Lord, then the Lord will do exactly what he has continually promised to do. In Isaiah 40, verse number 1, let me show you what he says. He says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Now God is the one who has told them that there's going to be great consequences because of the sin of Hezekiah and ultimately the sin of the people. But he says, now you comfort my people, comfort them to let them know that I have not forsaken them. He says, verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You know what he is telling them? He says, not only are you going to be delivered from the sins of this time, but I'm also going to send to you a Savior. And he's telling them about John the Baptist, who is going to come and begin to cry and prepare the way for the Savior, Jesus Christ. And verse number 4, he says, I want you to understand that there's good reason for you to be comforted, because God is going to take care of you. He says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Now, I want you to see what here's the same point that James was making to us before, is that if we're going to make a resolution, the resolution is to be committed to God.
Amen.
Because without God, we're nothing. He says, here's exactly. He says, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's the resolution we need to make.
Amen.
Be resolved to be more like God.
Amen.
O Zion, verse 9, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He says, be comforted. I have not turned my back on you. He says, I love you like you're my sheep. And he says, I'm going to feed you just like I were your shepherd. He says, and he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He says, I love you, and I'll love you. Will you follow after me?
Amen.
Now, you know, if you've ever read Isaiah chapter 40, how good it is. And boy, I want to read the whole thing, but I'm not going to. I want you to skip down to verse number 25. But I want you, when you get home, I want you to read the rest of that, because God tells them so much that he loves them so much. And God begins to tell them, you know, don't compare me with your friends. Don't compare me with people. Don't think that I'm going to do what you see other people do, because I am God and I will always keep my promises. And skip down to verse number 25. He kind of summarizes what he said to us between 12 and 24. He says, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and behold, Who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them by all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, I want you to understand the resolution. You know, you might have heard this verse, they that wait upon the Lord, and it's so often given to you out of context, but I want you to understand what God is saying. God is talking to a people who have been oppressed. God is talking to a people who are about to be taken into captivity. And God says, here's the comfort that you can expect of me if you will just be resolved to be men and women of God. Will you be resolved? He says, and if you will do that, you can understand that I am never so busy that I will not be able to hear your call. He says, I will give you strength that you don't even understand. He says, they that wait upon him, they that serve him, they that will be faithful to him, he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He says, it's like God's going to take care of them. He says, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. If we'll just be resolved to follow God. If we'll just be resolved to follow God. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. One more verse and then we'll move on. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 5. Proverbs 28, verse number 5. That's on page 502. Proverbs 28, page 502, verse 5. I just want to give you this one quick verse that I thought it was so applicable to what we're studying today. God wants us to rejoice in him. God wants us to not get out there and make our own plans about tomorrow and what we're going to do and what we're going to sell and what we're going to gain and what we're going to invest with no regard for what his will is for our lives. Proverbs 28:5 says this, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's how we make godly resolutions. So James said, come on now, listen up. You say you will do this, you say you'll do that, but he says, humble yourself and rejoice in the Lord always. Let's not forget who God is. And make that your resolution. Not just for 1 year, but for life. Point number two. Not only are we to rejoice in the Lord always, but the verse says, and again I say, rejoice. James chapter 4, go back there one more time, verse number 15. Here's what he says. He says, for that you ought to say, he says, now we know what James is talking to the people about what they were saying. They were saying, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into a city, stay there for a while. I'm going to sell. I'm going to buy. I'm going to make good investments. I'm going to get gain. And these are the things that I'm going to do. He says, here's what you ought to say. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. And all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I told you we were going to spend some time in Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 12. I want to show you, pick up right where we left off. That's on page 764. In Luke chapter 12, we began with the message of Christ that we should have a desire to be rich in things towards God. And now when we understand this whole, to understand this point about how we ought to live and how we ought to say, if the Lord wills, then we shall live. If the Lord wills, then we shall die. If the Lord wills, then we will do this or do that. You know, I heard a funny story about a missionary and I can't even remember her name, but before she was a missionary, she was a young lady who was the victim of war crimes, and she had along with many other people had been taken captive, and she had a desire to be free, and she was just trying to come up with all of these ideas as to how she could be free. And one day she was walking, and she was near an embassy, and she saw that she had an opportunity to make a run for the embassy office, and she could potentially be saved from having to be a war criminal. But there were also soldiers about who could just as easily have shot her. And she told the story of before she made her move, she said she prayed, and she says, "Lord, I believe that you can spare me from being killed as I make this mad dash for this door to go and to be set free from this terrible crimes that are being inflicted upon me." She says, "But then I said, Lord, but if you don't, then I'll see you in a minute." And she said, that's exactly what she said. She said, "I know you can spare me, but if you don't, I'll see you in a minute." Well, that's exactly the point. If the Lord wills, we'll do. And if the Lord wills, then we won't. But we need to give it all over to God and say, "God, I'm going to rejoice in you and in you alone." You know, and I haven't been as brave as this young lady. But that is a great stand about making a resolution to follow God no matter what. No matter what. So now in Luke chapter number 12, I kind of got off the pathway a little bit there. Luke chapter 12, skip down this time to verse number 22. That's where we're going to pick up. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 22, here's Christ still talking. And he said unto his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on." He says, "The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." He says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubic?" Now, I want you to understand, he says, we should depend on God because he is the only one that can really bring about a change in our lives. He said, which one of you? He says, and if I could just put this little bit in my own little commercial break, you know, when you worry and when you worry and when you worry, what does it change? Amen. Nothing. And you know what God is saying? He says, why don't you, rather than worry, why don't you say, if the Lord wills, then this will happen. If the Lord wills, then that will happen. But I can't change one cubic in my life. I cannot. Amen. I tell you what, God is giving us something that we could be very resolved about that could change our spiritual lives forever. Amen. If we'll just grab onto the truth here. He says, you cannot do anything about it. So why are you worrying about it? Amen. Verse number 26, he says, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, then why take ye thought for the rest? I tell you what, I don't know how simple he can put it. He says, if you can't change a little bit, then why are you worrying about a lot? He says, if you were defeated about the little things, good grief, how defeated you are about the big things. He says, you can't do anything about it. Then why? Why even be concerned? Turn it over to the Lord and just rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, he said. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. He says, you can't do anything about it. He says, why are you doing it? Verse 27. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And I know this might sound a little simple, but you know, God used the example of the lilies. And this is exactly what I got out of this. He says, if the Lord wills, they'll come up. And if the Lord wills, they won't. And guess what the lilies do? If I come up, I bloom. And if I don't get to come up, then I wait for the next time that God chooses to make me come up. You know, he says that's how we need to look at this life that God has presented before us. He says the lilies don't worry about it. They just do what God calls upon them to do. Wow. That's a simple truth we ought to be able to grab on to. Verse 28, he says, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. You see the difference there. He says there ought to be a difference between us and the world. And he says, you know what the world does? The world depends upon itself. He said, the world says, if I work it, I get it. If I work it, if I get it. If I work, I get it. If I work, I get it. And it's all about me and the works that I do. And I don't have to believe in any God. And I don't have to have any faith in any God. But he says, God knows. And we need to be different. He says, God knoweth what things that we have need of. So here's a godly resolution for us in verse number 31. He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. He says, there's a resolution for you. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What? Amen. What? You mean that statue that I can't do anything about? That one cubic that I can't change? The answer is to seek the kingdom of God, and everything will be added? Amen. He's not talking about material things, because we'd have to drive around a big truck. You know, so it'll be loaded down. Every time we were seeking him, we'd get a new refrigerator and a new washing dryer and a hot water heater and all these things. But he says that's not what it's about. But what God is talking about is changing perspectives and seeking those things that will allow us to do more to bring glory to his precious name.
Amen.
Wow. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 32, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
He wants to give you the whole kingdom.
Amen.
You little flock, you. I tell you what, he puts us in perspective, doesn't he? He says, that's what you are. And if you will just be a little flock and just come to the Father and ask for what you want. Daddy, I'm hungry. Here's what I need. Daddy, I need. And he says, according to Daddy's plan for you, he's going to do according to your need. Verse number 33 says, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. He says, make a good trade-off. He says, sell that you have and give alms. And God's not talking about getting rid of everything you got. I don't believe that at all. But what God is saying here is this. In the tail end of that, he says, provide yourselves bags which wax not old. He says, store up for yourself things in heaven. He says, start packing a bag of things that will be pleasing unto our God. Those things that will be pleasing unto our God. He said, pack a bag in heaven, a treasure. In heaven, treasure that only heavenly minded people will appreciate. A treasure that no one can steal. Verse 34, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord when he shall return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. He says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve him. There's a promise about our God. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. He says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. But you know, but the prideful rejoices in that he prefers his own will over God's will. And James writes that this rejoicing is evil. It's sin. He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's read a little bit more in Luke. I told you we're going to spend a lot of time there because I want to show you how God develops the thought. And if you ever doubt the consistency of God's word, all you need to do is start reading a place like James chapter 4 and skip back over to a place like Luke chapter 12 and see that God is giving the same message just through a different prophet. His word is complete and it's perfect. In Luke chapter 12, concerning knowing to do good and doing it not, look what he says as he continues that thought. Verse number 41 in Luke chapter 12, he says, then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? He says, blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the manservant and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. Now, I want you to see the pride here. He says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, he says now. He says, Peter asked the question, who are you talking to? God says, I'm talking to all of y'all. He says, and here's the message. He says, I want you to understand that if you delay to do the will of God because you believe that God is not yet coming back, if you believe that you got today and you got tomorrow and you got the next day, God says to you, it is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, he says, it is sin. Now, I want to show you how God develops the thought. He says now, he says, verse number 46, he says, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given, he's talking about wisdom and knowledge and the word of God, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen.
That's what God says. We need to be resolved that we're going to be found doing the very will of God. He says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You know, I want to close with a rather familiar passage over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Turn over there. We'll close here. It's on page 506. This passage is used most often when life is ended, but it's very much to be applied to life as we live it. Come now and listen, James writes. Ye that say you will do this or do that, you'll make this and make that. He says, instead you ought to be saying, if the Lord will, I will do this. If the Lord wills, I will do that. Our heart ought to be always say, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, here's what the Bible says. He says, to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, we've heard this usually at a funeral. He says, there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Can I summarize those verses? If the Lord will. If the Lord will, we will do this or do that. Verse number 9 says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time, God's will. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also unto every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. Look what he says. It is the gift of God. If the Lord wills. Verse 14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. James says, you know what you ought to say? He says, make some godly resolutions. Here's one for you. If the Lord will, amen, we will do this, amen, or we will do that. Amen. And if I could pick out some resolutions for you for this year, one of them would come from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14, where he says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever, and nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. And I'd add one more from Luke chapter 12, verse 31, where he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Keep it in perspective. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Come and let us listen to the word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you're so good. Your word is so good and so timely. I do pray today that we might come here, listen to the very words of our God. Lord, what we need to resolve is that we're going to be right dab in the middle of your will. And whatever your will is for our lives, Father, we're going to be thankful. And we're going to know that your word and your will is complete for us. I pray that we might make godly resolutions, each one of us, and that we might allow you to lead us, Father, in the way that you would have us to go. For those who are without Christ today, we pray for them in particular. We pray, Father, that you will give us boldness to speak words of salvation, that they might be able to see the simplicity of the message of Christ, that whosoever would call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray for salvation for a lost world today. We pray, Father, for your power to rest in our lives. Help us to stay steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the word of God. Let us rejoice in you always, Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Amen.